All right, so our scripture text, or our sermon text for this morning, comes from two places in Paul's letters, one from Romans and one from Galatians. And you can follow along with me in your bulletin or on the screen. I think it'll be up on the screen as well. So the first text, the main text that we'll be preaching from today, is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. Don't you know that so in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. A reading from Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to your word this morning, a celebration morning, Lord. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word, that it would guide us and it would shape us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So what we've been a part of this morning is a big deal. It's a big deal in the sense that three people this morning and a month ago marked some very important things in the life of a Christian. Two things, faith and obedience. And the three that were here this morning, they've done something today. And if we look at Galatians chapter 3 to describe what they have done, it is that they have clothed themselves with Christ. They have, in a way, put on Christ as a garment to mark what they think is important in this world. This summer, I was asked to pray the invocation at Bard High School's graduation. And as I sat there watching each of the graduates come across the stage and receive their diploma, it's all the things that college is. You start noticing the little things that people put on their caps when they're graduating, you know, the little decorations or some of the decorations that they had maybe on their stoles as they walked across. But the thing that was common among all of them is that every single person that walked across that stage, they wore a cap and a gown. As if to show, hey, this is something that I've accomplished. This is something that I've done and that I've achieved. That the last 12 plus years that I've spent in school has meant something. And then this is marking that thing that has been happening from kindergarten all the way to the 12th. And I'm going to celebrate it. And it's going to be a big deal. And they walk across the stage. If you looked at my shirt, you might think that Pastor Mark likes lacrosse. I mean, I don't not like lacrosse, but it's a free t-shirt somebody gave me, so I wear it. But if you look around, you know it's probably Browns, you know, opening day because people are wearing Browns jerseys. Like, we wear the things that we want to represent to the world that we think is important. But clothing yourself like Christ, it's probably not like a graduation cap and gown. Something I think is a better illustration is like a child clothed by their parents. You know who dressed my kids for the day if you answer a couple questions. The first question is, does it look like thought went into their outfit? The second question is, do they match? Are the colors coordinated? Are there pinks with reds? Because I think that matches, but other people don't. Are their socks the same style? And based upon those answers to those questions, you can tell if it was me that dressed the kids or my wife. If the answer is yes to all those questions, she dressed them. If it's no to any of those questions, I'm the one that dressed them. Kids' clothes reflect their family. If you are a Christian, then you have been clothed with the most expensive and exquisite clothing you can imagine. You are clothed in Christ. Paul writes that all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You've taken what God has done on the inside through faith, and you've kind of pulled it out and wrapped it around yourself. And you're showing the world what you think is important. Jonathan, Evan, Jackie, Megan, Audie, Angeline. This marks one of the most important decisions you can ever make. More important than what you will do for a living, more important than what college you will go to, more important than what spouse you'll marry, how many kids, what kind of car you'll drive, where you'll live, what you'll do, when you'll retire. This. It is the mark of an identity that stands above all other identities we could ever have. It supersedes any kind of meaning that we could ever find in life or seek in life. It is the foundation of all meaning. I'm not being overdramatic or hyperbolic. It's that important. Every culture has things it values. And people shape their lives based on those values. And those values give identity and meaning. Our sense of identity can get all wrapped up in what we observe in our culture. Most of us, from the moment we're born until the day we die, are in constant search of some kind of validity, some kind of meaning. We find meaning in what we do, who we are, our family, our accomplishments. We tend to look at outward things to define who we are and our place in the world. We judge our importance based on how successful we have been. And we get all wrapped up in that and all caught up in that. And we kind of merge our life with those things. And those things begin to push us and drive us. I remember years ago when I was in the Marine Corps, I was sitting with a bunch of Marines. And we were talking about the sergeant major who had spent 30 plus years in the Marine Corps, who had retired and within a year was dead. And as we talked about a staff sergeant, a staff NCO, he came in, he knew the guy, and he said, "Let me tell you this." He said, "The Marine Corps isn't all there is to life. But most guys who spend their lives in the Marine Corps have centered all of their identity and lives into one place, the Marines. And when they are no longer in the Marine Corps, they lose all sense of meaning and purpose. And they die." He said, "I wish that I could tell you that that's a rarity, but it happens all the time for people who spend their life doing what we do here." Where is your value? Where is your meaning? Some people wear their accomplishments like a badge. Their meaning is found in what they are or what they have done. Galatians 3:28, it lists ways in which that was happening in the early church. Categories of ethnicity and race, Jew or Gentile. Categories of class, free or slave. Categories of gender, male or female. People found their value in these things, and they used them to measure their worth and their meaning. We see all through Paul's letters arguments over Jews and Gentiles and what do you have to do to be faithful, and are the Jews better, are the Gentiles better? And Paul's constantly saying, no, none of that. Those things don't matter. He isn't negating them as categories, but he's saying they just don't matter. They aren't determinants of importance. There are things in each of our lives that mark us. I am a white male born in Virginia, served in the Marine Corps, spent 5 years as a police officer, and now I'm a pastor. Those are parts of my story, but they never determine my importance or my meaning, or even really who I am. The Apostle Paul bragged about all the things that he was in Philippians 3. In Philippians 3, he said this, "Although I have reasons for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, regarding the law of Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is the law, blameless. That's his bragging. That's the things he can talk about that gave him importance. But then he goes on, he says, but everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. Those are all parts of Paul's story. You all have parts to your story. Families and jobs. Things in your past. Things in your future. But for a Christian, Paul says that the thing that determines who you are, your value, is faith in Jesus Christ. And through faith in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. If I belong to Jesus, if you belong to Jesus, you are a part of Abraham's seed. It's a way of saying that you are a part of God's promise that he gave to Abraham thousands of years ago. And that applies to you and to me. And you've been welcomed into this family of promise and honor. And you are there. And it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter the actions you take. It doesn't matter how hard you work or how little. You are there. You are part of that family. And you have all the trappings of that family. Through faith in Jesus, it's his actions. It's his work that gives you value. And it carries with it an aspect of obedience. There's an old Bob Dylan song called Gotta Serve Somebody. And some of you may remember it's from the 70s, and it goes like this. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to, and I'm not going to sing like Bob Dylan, but you may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to serve somebody. Indeed, you're going to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. Those lyrics get to the heart of Romans 6:16. You're going to serve something as a slave. And Paul gives a choice of what it will be. A slave to sin or a slave to obedience. To serve sin leads to death. Now we often make a list of those things that we think of as sins. And we spend our life navigating the holy minefield of don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. But the biblical idea of sin is more than a list of things. It's more than a list of things we got not to do. Tim Keller has given a very good definition of what sin is, and he writes this. He says, sin is building your life and meaning on anything, even a very good thing, more than on God. Whatever we build our life on will drive us and enslave us. Let me read that again. Sin is building your life and meaning on anything, even a very good thing, more than on God. Whatever we build our life on will drive us and enslave us. And in that same sense, obedience is more than just making sure I walk this narrow road and I don't step off of it. It's more than making a checklist to make sure I don't mess up. It's shaping our lives to be centered on God. It's building our life on God and God alone. A lot of people look at what happened this morning and they say, what's the big deal? It's just a bunch of water. It isn't just that. You see, life will go on. The pressure and demands of life will continue to press in on you after today. Work, school, kids, life, job. And God can just kind of get pushed out to the side. Something I did preparing for this Sunday is I just walked through all of the places where Paul talks about baptism. And he does it a lot. And he reminds people of their baptism a lot. Romans and Colossians and 1 Corinthians, Galatians. He reminds them of it. It's a moment in time where you yielded to God in obedience through a tangible act of submission. And it can be a focal point to help remind you of what is vital in life. In a world that tries to convince us that we need all kinds of things to have a good life, baptism reminds us of the beautiful life that we've already found in Christ. If you are a believer, a Christian, and you've never been baptized, I encourage you to do it. If you don't know what the steps are for doing that, please come and see me. We can help you figure that out. It's kind of easy in some ways. If you're not a believer, I hope you will consider Jesus and the promise of life that he offers through him. And if you are a believer and you've been baptized, remember it. Let it sink in deep. Let the witness of what we've seen here today refocus you on what is vital and important in your own life. Martin Luther, when he was struggling with sin, would often say, as he's like trying to figure out, how do I work my way? How do I be faithful? He would often say, I remember my baptism. And a lot of churches kind of coming from that teaching, during baptism, after the pastor baptizes somebody, we'll say to the congregation, remember your baptism, and then we'll kind of like sprinkle water over the whole crowd. And I had a dream about doing that with a big bucket last night, and don't worry, I'm not going to do that this morning. But remember your baptism. You're obedient. And you're clothed with Christ. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for this morning. It is mornings like this, it is days like this that are so exciting and so thrilling, Lord, to serve you. I pray that you would protect emotionally, spiritually, physically, those who have been baptized this morning, a month ago, Lord, that you would continue to remind them of their baptism, that you would continue to build them up. I pray that for all of us who have been baptized, that you would constantly remind us of our faith in you. The world will trick us. It's really sneaky that way. So I ask, Lord, that you help us to remember. Help us to cling to you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.